All right. How about a final reading now? Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw him, that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. "Moses, Moses," he said. Moses replied, "Here I am." God said, "Come no closer. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out to the land, to a good land, a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country where I will send them. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this very mountain." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I had totally forgot about picking this text for tonight 6 months ago. And when I read it up there in before, like 15 minutes before the service started, I'm like, "Oh no, I've preached on this before. I don't want to give the same message, you know, for those who may have heard that before." So I was praying and praying and praying that God would reveal something new to me in the reading of the text tonight. And praise God, he did. And I'm kind of excited about it, especially not even realizing the photo that we put up there tonight. But have you ever wondered why God said, "Moses, take off your sandals? Moses, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground." How many of you have wore sandals before, or flip-flops? You've wore it for a day or so, and then at the end of the night you go to take a shower, and you look down and you see all kinds of dirt in the bottom of the shower. Am I the only one? I mean, you wear sandals and your feet get really, really dirty, right? I mean, think about what the text says that Moses was doing. He was shepherding, he was tending a flock, he was leading them. So, like, just because God told him to take off his sandals, the grit and grime and sheep poo was still on Moses' feet. Think about that for a moment. Like, just because he took off his sandals doesn't make his feet any cleaner in the presence of God. And I think about that as we read that text. Why is that so important? That God asked him to remove his sandals. And I'll give you why I think God did ask him that. You see, Moses was a fugitive, right? He was raised in the house of the Pharaoh, but when he came to understand who he really was and who he belonged to, he could tolerate no longer the injustice that was being done to his people. And it led him to react and actually kill a man. And thus, he begins his fugitive journey, a man fleeing for his life, running from his past. Running from his past. And he gets into the presence of God, and God says, take off your shoes. You are no longer to run. How about that? Take off your shoes and stop running, because you're in my presence now. And no matter what you did in the past, I have a mission for you. And I think about that. I think about that in my own life, about some of the running that I did from God, from some of the fleeing, some of the sinful things and terrible things that I did. And in the very presence of God, he changed my heart and gave me a new mission. God changes the heart of Moses. And it starts by ending the fleeing that Moses was doing. You know, we throw this word around a lot in church called repent. Have you ever heard that? Repent actually means to turn and change direction, literally to turn 180 degrees. So if you're going this way, to repent means to turn around and go the other way. And I imagine in this moment where Moses comes into the very presence of God, and God tells him to take his shoes off, to stop running, and gives him a mission and says, now go back. I often wonder if Moses was wise enough to leave his shoes right where he took them off. You ever think about that? Because he comes down off the mountain, standing on holy ground with every step he takes. He realizes that. And I think about that call that God places on Moses' heart, and like I can relate so well to Moses. Who, me? No, I think you've got the wrong person, God. It can't be me. You don't know what I've done. I do know what you've done, God says, and you're exactly the person I need. I almost want to ask you to take off your shoes, but I won't. Remove your sandals, God says, for you are standing on holy ground. Stop your fleeing, for I have a new mission for you. Jesus, the night he was betrayed, in those familiar words, says to the disciples, take off your sandals and follow me, for I will make you fishers of men, I believe he said. Drop your nets, take off your sandals. It's all the same meaning. He comes, he blesses and gives thanks, and breaks the bread and says, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance. Share it with the world. And he takes the cup and he says, this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. He blesses it and gives thanks and gives us a new mission to not only take and drink and be forgiven, but to go and share and spread the message. So we come tonight praying that God's Holy Spirit would come down upon these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we partake with these common elements, that we would become one with Christ and one with each other in the mission that you have called us to, Lord. Allow us to remove whatever obstacles are in the way of serving you, of living out your call for our lives. Let us become obedient servants to your will and your way. This we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We practice an open table, so all are welcome to come as you are led. Come and receive the gift of grace. Hear the words, "The body of Christ broken for you," and receive it, and then dip it into the cup and hear the words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." The table is set, the invitation is extended. Come as you are led. May we be reminded that no matter what is in our past, when we're in the presence of God, we are in or standing on holy ground. That we no longer have to flee. We just have to obey that mission he gives us to, the calling that he places on our hearts. We can find strength and beauty, not only that he calls us to a mission, but he has a place for us to return to when we're done. And think about that if for a moment. He promised, as assigned for Moses, that after he fulfilled his mission, that he could come back with the people to that very mountain and worship God. Heaven, if you will, our end treasure. So may you go from this place fulfilling that mission and standing on holy ground. Amen.